Thank you, Mr. Burrow. First case, please.
Case number 10,358, Ira Paul Riel, west of Road 261, south of Vincent Avenue, being Lot 31 within Carlson Yan Acres Development, a variance from the front yard setback requirement.
State your name and place of residence.
Ira Paul Riel, 31 West James Street, Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay, and do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
My name is Ira Paul Riel, and in November I bought a piece of property in Carlson Yan Acres on Benson Street, Lot 31. At the time, there was an older mobile home sitting on the property. And we decided to remove that and put a newer style. The older mobile home was in pretty good shape, but it was an older style, so we put a newer style on. When I went to the office next door to get permits to place the mobile home that I had chosen, they gave me permits, and then they showed me what the setback requirements were. And this one letter here, or one sheet, the girl out front gave it to me, and it had the setback requirements on it. Unfortunately, I misread those requirements. I misinterpreted them. So when I set my new mobile home in place, it was in the exact spot that the older one was, which seemed logical because it was in line with all the neighbors. Mr. Walter Todd, the engineer, had surveyed the property, and when he came out to resurvey, as the county requires, he said, "Mr. Riel, you have that mobile home in the wrong spot." And I began to insist that, "No, it isn't. It's in the right spot." And he said, "No, here, I'll show it to you." So he got out his print again and proved to me that I had incorrectly placed a mobile home on my lot. It was 21 feet too close. What I saw on here, the girl pointed out to me, I thought was the safe distance around that radius. What she was saying was you had to be 30 feet back from that radius, and I was only 9 feet back. So my request, since it's in line with the other homes and it's exactly where the older home was, my request is that you give me a variance so I can leave it where it is. I did go and talk to the neighbors, and they wrote, you should have in your possession a couple of letters, one from Barbara Layton and another one from the Bundits, who are my two closest neighbors, and they had no problem with it being.
Can
right
I have those letters?
Beg your pardon?
Can I have those letters, please, for the record?
Sorry.
Mr. Riel, did you set the mobile home yourself? Did you place the mobile set home there yourself?
No, I had Apex Mobile Home.
Apex?
Apex.
Where are they from?
Beg your pardon?
Where are they from?
I think they're out on route out of Millsboro. I'm not sure of the route. Charlie Eagleston is.
Who obtained the permit? You or them?
I got the permit.
Did you advise them of the setbacks? Did they ask or inquire?
Yeah, I thought I was giving them the correct figures, and they assumed that I knew what I was doing.
Mr. Rickett, do we have any averaging there?
No, we don't average on that, in that cul-de-sac where he is on a cul-de-sac.
So where did you measure from to get that far off? Where'd you measure from?
I measured from the middle of the street and thought I was measuring the correct amount, and then I looked at Walter's stakes and said, yeah, this is correct. I'm in the right spot.
You're from Pennsylvania.
His flags or his stakes were actually the radius of the cul-de-sac. I was only 9 feet back from that.
So you're in the middle of the cul-de-sac just about. Part of the cul-de-sac you measured from?
No, I'm not in the cul-de-sac. I'm back, but I'm not, according to the county, I'm not back as far as I should be.
Yeah.
You're from Pennsylvania, right?
Yes.
And up there they measure.
That may be the reason.
They measure from the middle of the road.
To further carry that, Mr. Mills, when you look at the drawing, you'll see that it's more than is required of the other lots that are there. If you look at from 27 to 30, you'll see that they're at like 36, 43, and they only have to be 30. Okay, so he has to go with the 30. Can't average that. He'd have to be back further yet.
Mm. So he would be.
The only average you would do is if they were under.
Right.
Okay, the requirement.
Mr. Rao, what would prevent you from moving your mobile back to obtain 30 feet? Is there anything behind the mobile?
There's a well back there, yes. I'd have to do something with a well. It would also prevent me from putting a future garage back there, which I intended to do. It would be, everything would have to be done all over again. It would have to be rebuilt.
Still on brick foundation?
Is
it skirting around it, or you got block?
It'll be skirting.
Have you got skirting on it?
No, not yet.
I mean, it's not really set yet.
It is set, yes. Set up on piers.
And piers on it.
I just didn't put skirting around it. He told me not to put skirting for a short period of time because it tends to settle a little bit.
We have footer inspections, and they can't do that until we go out there and check underneath it.
That's when you caught it? That's when you called, you did the footer inspection? That's when you caught that?
Mr. Rao, according to the survey, it appears that the existing mobile home, and it shows 9 feet, but the proposed mobile home at 30.
Right, 21 plus 9.
It appears to be 21 feet further back than the existing old trailer, right? Or the older trailer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, 21 feet.
Okay. Well, according to this drawing, the proposed mobile home would be 30 feet.
Well, that drawing was made after the fact.
So
it was made specifically so that you guys could understand what's going on.
Is it sitting 9 feet from the property line or 9 feet from the road?
It's 9 feet from the outer circumference of the cul-de-sac. 50 foot.
Is that where your property line is?
No, my property line is...
It's inside of that.
Yeah, it's property line actually just follows the cul-de-sac.
That's correct.
On lot 31.
You'll see the two.
There is no developed cul-de-sac back there. It looks just like a. It looks. Right. It's a straight street.
John, this is paper.
Paper
okay,
cul-de-sac.
Where it's supposed to have it. It's cul-de-sac on there.
If that cul-de-sac had been developed, then of course nobody would have made, you know, this kind of mistake. This just looks like a regular street.
Mm-hmm.
Never been developed.
Okay. So it sits almost 35 feet from where the street would continue straight.
Stay back at 34.8.
Okay. So that's how you made a mistake. There's no cul-de-sac there, really.
That's correct.
Okay.
Is the street paved?
Street is paved, yes.
It is paved, but there is no cul-de-sac.
No cul-de-sac. Goes straight back to a barrier.
What kind of barrier?
It's typical galvanized steel barriers across the entire width of the street. And on the other side is a ditch, and then on the other side of that is that... failed development that went through bankruptcy, I guess.
So there wouldn't be anything built?
No.
So you're suggesting because the cul-de-sac isn't there, it's unique?
Beg your pardon?
You're suggesting since the cul-de-sac isn't there, that it is unique?
It is, yes. I don't think there's a cul-de-sac in any of those. I know there's a number of other on-paper cul-de-sacs in that development, but none of them have ever been developed.
Are you also suggesting it's necessary to enable reasonable use of the property?
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't...
Work with me. Are you suggesting that it's the variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property?
Yes.
Okay. And you're also suggesting it won't alter the essential character of the neighborhood?
It should not. Everybody seems pleased with...
Are you also suggesting that it's a minimum to afford relief?
Sorry, sir.
Are you also, did you read the standards for granting variance with the application? Okay. I'm trying to address those. Go back to the podium.
I hear he's not as good as it has been. I just got over a cold.
So. Okay.
How are you going to deal with number one?
The uniqueness?
No, it wasn't self-created.
Oh, well. That's the only one left. There's five standards, and the only one that you really can't
address
is that it could not have been created by the applicant yourself, which it was. And you have to meet all five standards for granting a variance.
Okay. Are there any further questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
Mr. Burtman?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Mills? Okay, hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Mr. Chairman, I have three letters here. One of them's, who is Gilbert? That's across the street from you?
Who is it, sir?
Ruth J. Gilbert.
Ruth J. Gilbert.
Okay, she's Vincent Avenue across the way. That's the one that came in later today. And I have your two memos from these other people that they have no objections. So there's three of no objections.
Three in favor and no objections. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion. We take case number 10,358 under advisement.
Need a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. Mills, and I have a second by Mr. Hudson that we take case number 10,358 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Sir, your case has been taken, your case has been taken under advisement. What that means, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office tomorrow after 9 o'clock. Okay,
how late,
sir?
How late do you stay?
It's depending, sir. I'd be afraid to. We'd say we get a full agenda, so it's hard to tell, sir.
You can also watch our deliberations on the internet.
Okay.
Case number